Ezekiel 14, I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 11. Recall last week we touched on Ezekiel 3, God calling Ezekiel to be a watchman for the house of Israel. So we come now in Ezekiel 14, verses 1 to 11. Please give your attention to the Word of God. Then certain of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, these men have taken their idols into their hearts and set the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Should I indeed let myself be consulted by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, any one of the house of Israel who takes his idols into his heart and sets the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and yet comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him as he comes with a multitude of his idols, that I may lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel, who are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel, or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel, who separates himself from me, taking his idols into his heart, and putting the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and yet comes to a prophet to consult me through him, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. And I will set my face against that man. I will make him a sign and a byword and cut him off from the midst of my people. And you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet is deceived and speaks a word, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand against him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear their punishment. The punishment of the prophet and the punishment of the inquirer shall be alike. That the house of Israel may no more go astray from me, nor defile themselves any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, declares the Lord God. We live close by a center for biblical counseling, and a great deal of talk in biblical counseling circles in recent years has focused on the idea of heart idols. I had a while I was kind of wondering about the legitimacy of the whole concept. After all, in Scripture, when it says, you shall not make any graven image, it's talking about physically making a literal piece of metal or wood or stone and literally setting it up and literally bowing down before it. That's what the second commandment is about. You shall not set up an idol and worship it. And so I wondered, are we really supposed to be going in this metaphorical direction? And then I found this passage. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. Well, that's pretty metaphorical. He's not saying that they carved out a little tiny bit of gold and made it an idol and then did heart surgery and implanted it. No, it's metaphorical. These are metaphorical idols that they've taken into their hearts. And indeed, that really shouldn't be a surprise. In the sixth commandment, it says, you shall not kill. But Jesus says, yeah, this not only means don't kill, it not only means don't fantasize about killing, it means don't insult your brother. Whoever is enraged with his brother. It has a much wider, you could say in some places, metaphorical kinds of use. I encourage you to keep both, of course. First, no literal idols. That should be the easy case. It should be obvious when there's some visual representation of God that you're worshiping, and you are not to do that. Don't lose the literal as we talk about the metaphorical. But secondly, beware of metaphorical idols. Repent of all secret idolatry and give God your heart. In this passage, God understood the hypocrisy of the elders who came to inquire by Ezekiel. Ezekiel had been sent by God as a watchman for Israel. He was to warn the wicked and warn the righteous, warn whoever was sinning. And some of the people understood that, and they recognized that. And so we find elders coming to consult the Lord through Ezekiel. You see that in chapter 8. You see that again in chapter 14. They know that he is the Lord's prophet. He is the watchman. And so they come to ask. It looks good. These guys are doing what they should do, right? They have a question. They're coming and they're sitting before the prophet. It looks good. But God perceived their hypocrisy. God said to Ezekiel, yes, but these men have set up their idols in their hearts. God sees our hearts. And as I was saying before about Psalm 139, at one level that's very easy to acknowledge. It's such a logical deduction. God knows everything. What's in my heart is a thing. God knows it. Okay, good. So you can say, yes, obviously God knows everything. And yet we don't really take that to heart. Because we don't see God. And people don't know what's in our heart. And so we consider what's in our heart to be hidden. It being hidden from everybody we can see. But it's open and bare before God. So God here says, they look good, but it's not good. And God says here that he hates disloyalty and duplicity. He hates the duplicity, the two-facedness of people saying, oh, was there a word from the Lord? Well, they continue to really live and worship something else. God hates the disloyalty of it. If you're going to come and worship me, then worship me. If I am your God, then make me your God. Do not have another. And so God declared how he would answer such inquirers. Because how should God respond to men who come to inquire of him, but have idols in their hearts? Should he show them his grace and power by answering their requests and giving them a good answer? Well, if he does that, they're getting what they want and have no reason to change. Should he give them no answer at all? You deserve nothing, you get nothing. Oh, well, then they might change for the worse. We got nothing from the Lord. Perhaps he has forgotten us here in Babylon. Maybe we should go to other gods that answer. And so he says, yes, I will respond. You have that in verse 4. Any one of the house of Israel takes his idols into his heart, I, the Lord, will answer him. Oh, good, he'll answer him. With the abundance as he comes with the multitude of his idols. Well, that sounds ominous. But I, the Lord, will answer him as he comes with the multitude of his idols. And that might not be a good answer. Sure enough, God says in verse 8, I will set my face against that man. I will make him a sign and a byword and cut him off. Yikes. They say, well, God, why don't you just not respond? Would that be easier if you just gave us nothing? He has a gracious reason. Verse 5, so that I may lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel. God wants your heart. He wants to lay hold of your heart. He is the only true God and our God and Redeemer. He should reign in our hearts. He should reign on the outside in the public words and declarations and laws of nations and people. And he should reign on the inside in the secret intentions and desires and prayers of the heart. You know, Islam is mostly concerned with the outside. For the most part, everybody would confess Muhammad and pray 5 times a day, most Muslims would say, okay, mission accomplished. Allah is being publicly acknowledged. And pietist Christians go in the other direction and say, well, who cares about public declarations? Who cares about governments and nations? It's all about just with the individual in his secret life. God, of course, deserves both. because every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. There's a statement of public adoration. And the Lord sees the heart. And Jesus says, clean the inside of the cup. God says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And so everyone does have this special responsibility for their own heart, your inside. Proverbs 4:23, in one translation, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do comes from it. And so Jesus said, clean that inside of the cup, and not the outside only. Now we clean the inside by taking down and destroying all of those metaphorical idols, those heart idols. Now what is a heart idol? Or to make it even worse, I'm calling it a metaphorical idol, just to make it more obscure. What is this thing? It's the thing that you want more than God. The thing that you want more than God. That is the idol in your heart. For some, it is, I want to vent my anger. I know God says to control my tongue, but I want to vent my anger. For some, it's sexual gratification. I know God once says this, but I want that. For some, it's man's approval. I know God says I shouldn't do that, but he says that I should. And so I will, because I need his approval. It can be success. It is more important that I rise, excel, and win than that I follow God. Husband and wife are well familiar with the idol of being right. I know I should dial down this fight. I know I should concede what I'm doing wrong. But she hasn't conceded yet, so I won't. These can be the heart idol. Perhaps they occasionally overtake you. Perhaps they are always in the first place. And when they are, in fact, in the first place, much or all the time, then that is a heart idol. And that is what we must deal with. Because these men sitting before the prophet, they were doing something right. They were going to God's prophet with a question. They were doing so without repenting of their rights. So they were not trying to make the peace of God rule in their hearts. God knew he did not rule in their hearts because he could see the idols in there. And so he says, I will judge these men. Now how will he lay hold of the hearts of Israel? By judging these secret idolaters. Well, God declared he would cut off such inquirers so that the rest would know him. Verse 8. I will make them notorious, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Did you hear what happened to so-and-so? And the point that they were to draw was that God is the Lord, and that God is jealous, and that we're not to have another alongside of him. Now, what about the prophet? What is he to do? Because there's something about this encounter. These elders are presumably coming to Ezekiel with a particular question. They have a reason to sit before Ezekiel. And then God makes them the issue. The word they get is pretty much an old word. God hates idols. Don't have them. That's an old word. They'd had that word for 800 years. It's in the second commandment. Right? That's an old word that they get. Jesus did this also. People would come, Jesus, deal with my issue. Actually, you're the issue. And so Ezekiel, he doesn't give them an answer to their question. He gives them God's word to them. The old word. But what if a prophet were to go along with a hypocritical inquirer? After all, sometimes they pay well. Well, God says, if you get a false word in that situation, that's my judgment on you. You deserve that. And secondly, he seems to say that the prophet should know better. He should serve the Lord and not the people. So the Lord says, I will destroy that prophet also. But Robert Jensen says, definitely some predestination here. And that bothers people. But how else should God deal with history? Should he leave it to us? And what kind of mess will we make with it then? No, he has to enter into history and involve himself in judgment and in grace in a sinful world. And notice throughout the gracious purpose, when the deceived prophet and the hypocritical inquirer are removed, then Israel will no more go astray. He says at the end, that they may be my people, and I may be their God. Repent of all secret idolatry, and give the Lord your heart. We want to hedge our bets and spread things around. The polytheists do this openly. Ancient world, you go to this temple, and then you go on to this temple, and then you go on to this temple. Maybe somebody will help me out. I'll just keep going to temples, asking, sacrificing. And we see that within the larger Christian world. When we hear prayers offered to God and to Mary and to Saint whoever it is. And we know ourselves. Perhaps we pray to God and then go out and break God's law to make it happen. In each case, we set up idols. We want to say, well, it's okay. I'm getting lots of helpers. I will get safety. There'll be safety in numbers. God says, that's not how I take it. I take those other helpers as rivals. I take your actions as disloyalty. I am jealous for your heart. How do you put them next to me? So by cutting off the ones who wish to hedge their bets, God shows us the real path to safety, and it's Him. He is the one with whom we must deal, the Creator and the Judge. And His grace is evident in the passage, as it is also in Jesus Christ. You need no other mediator. You have no reason to be disloyal. We have to guard our hearts for God and let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And Jensen notes this irony. God cut off those hypocrites to make them a sign to Israel. And so the false inquirers became true prophets for Israel. They showed Israel where true safety lies. Let's join together. Heavenly Father, we know how easily our hearts turn aside to worship other things. Help us, Lord, to perceive ourselves and to repent of it. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.